First off, I'm dumb as a bag of rocks.
I'm Sean Cannon, that's Josh Ostrander, and if that's point number one, where do you go from there? From Louisville Public Media, it's The Guest List. Steer into it. You hear the phrase, overnight success, 20 years in the making, used a lot to describe how an artist that seemed to come out of nowhere didn't actually come out of nowhere. But for Josh Ostrander, it's not just a cliche. It's pretty much the exact truth. He's been playing music for just about two decades in one band or another, and it took about that long to find some serious success with his latest project, Mondo Cosmo. Well, after scoring airplay with Hold On To Me, Automatic, and especially Shine, he's on the precipice of something that he could only dream about before. And of course, we talked about that during this conversation, as well as his visit to the Senate. Yeah, he visited the Senate, and a hand injury that he described to me initially as a byproduct of a rock and roll freakout. It wasn't a good kind of rock and roll freakout either, but it was ultimately a blessing in disguise. Things start off, though, with Josh talking about why he's very careful when it comes to touching things. When you're coming back again,
I miss you like the moonlight misses everything. Last year, we did like 10 months straight of touring, pretty much. And I was just like, if I get sick, I'm the band screwed. You know what I mean? Like, I can't get sick. Like, that's my mentality. Obviously, I'm allowed to get sick. But it's like, I just stopped touching anything. I have this handkerchief that I use to open up doorknobs. It's like part of my thing. But it's like, I just use it to open doors because I don't want to touch. Like, you should, if getting out of the bathroom, a public bathroom without touching anything was like an Olympic sport, it'd be like Greg Louganis.
So, I mean, was that recent though? Because just specifically like, because last year you guys hit it so hard.
I think I've always been like a little freaked out with touching stuff in public. But yeah, last year it was like, you know, but I went 10 months without like being sick at all. And like, you know, I got to look after my voice.
Also, though, you went 10 months without just dying of exhaustion because that much time on the road.
It was tough, man. And it wasn't just touring. It was like we were building the thing. Like I had to get up and go do the morning radio show and then go do interviews and then do an acoustic thing for somebody so that they'll play my song and then go to soundcheck and then do the show and then go out and do the meet and greets after, like try to sell merch, you know? That's what I had to cut down on because I was blowing my voice out just talking to people. And then the next day I was like, man, why can't I sing? I've been doing this for like 20 years. Like suddenly I'm having trouble singing. It's because I'm talking to everybody every night. I was like, man. So that's kind of been a bummer. I can't really do that too much anymore. And I really enjoy doing that, which sucks.
But I mean, that's also a thing, you know, like when you get bigger.
Yeah.
The bigger you get, the less of that you can do. And like, obviously, there are these practical reasons.
Yeah.
But like at a certain point, if you end up playing shows big enough, if you did that, you would never leave.
Yes. I also love hearing stories about like Dolly Parton, who will just like, she will stay and say thank you to every, you know what I mean? It's just like, man, that's like, that's class. That's cool. That's like, you know, I love hearing stories like that. Or like stories like Springsteen always leaves a couple of seats up front for people in the cheap seats to get up there. So for every show, I'm like, man, that's freaking rad. I love that.
So you're saying you're not going to like turn into a monster anytime soon?
I'm definitely going to turn into a monster. I can't wait. I can't wait till like my fat Elvis stage.
You know you just mean? Like hearing those stories. You know, you're not saying that you want to like embody that. You just like hearing them because they're funny or because they're endearing. But you're just going to be...
Yeah,
I'm you're going just gonna be like you're gonna be shooting out TVs with your custom gold six shooter or whatever.
My private jet.
No,
no. Too nice.
So, seriously though, like you spent that long on the road last year. How, like, what did that do to you afterward? Because I'm assuming that's more than you. Like, I know you've been at it for a while, but that's a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was tough just coming home and being like, oh man, like what is this now? You know what I mean? Whereas like, it was, you just fall in love with, I could tour forever. I'm a road dog. Like I really like, I enjoy it. I surround myself with excellent people that work really hard, but more importantly, aren't jerks. You know what I mean? Like they're good dudes. And if that's the case, I could go forever. I just love performing. I love bringing these songs out and seeing people sing along. And it's like, I've been doing it so long with no success at all. So to be able to like go, we just played Mass in Wisconsin the other day for the first time and it was like packed and it was like people singing along. And I was like, man, like what? This is nuts. I've been playing Mass since I was a kid. You know, like, so to be able to like have these, like these little, you know, mountains of success to me are just incredible, man. I love it. And I get to do what I love and I feel like what I'm here to do. So, but like when I got home, it was a learning curve, man. It was like, you know, like, suddenly you're going to Trader Joe's and people are like, can I take your picture? It's like, whoa, like what? You know what I mean? And just like settling back into that life of trying to, I don't know. It was like every day is like a different, you know, but I love it. People are really kind to me and they're always super supportive. So I'm just going to keep doing that.
I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just thinking more like you've been on the road so long. Now you have to figure out how to be stationary for more than a day or two. But
yeah.
So that didn't happen before you hit the road that hard, did it? Like people recognizing you?
It was after like we did started doing Kimmel and started like really like they put up billboards in LA, the label did and stuff. Like it was like they hit it hard in LA. And it's not crazy. It's not overwhelming at all. It's just like, it's just funny. But yeah, being stationary is tough, especially, I'm a workaholic, man. Like I get up and I'm just like, and this is a tough part too. And I talk about this with other songwriters, like it is a curse, man, because like how my day goes really is dependent on if I am working on a song that I'm excited about or if I'm recording something that I'm into. But it really comes down to the writing. And I'm just like, I feel like I set such a groundwork with Plastic Soul. And I just feel like I have to really, now's the chance to like knock it out of the park. And I just feel like the next 3 months are going to determine the next 5 years for my band, you know? And it's like, if I can get these songs to a place where I don't need a record company, where I don't need anybody else, but we can support ourselves on the road, I think that's what I'm trying to get to.
My guest today is Josh Ostrander, a frontman of Mondo Cosmo, who put out an EP this summer called, and this isn't the actual name, but it's the safe for radio version, Your Mother Trucker. And this song right here is on it. You know, it's not like there aren't other people who've had a similar trajectory of just like, you know, hacking away until like you finally figure out whatever that piece of wood really was. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, totally.
Oh, I thought it was this, but then I just kept hacking at it. I kept carving it and oh, it turns out it's blank. But, you know, it still is interesting to talk to you and hear you say basically, well, my ultimate goal is to be like a middle-class band.
Yeah, totally.
You know, because like that's not.
Yeah, I want to be able to pay my bills and do this. Like, that's like, man, like, are you kidding? Like, and I think if people come out and see the live show that we do, if we get to enough exposure of that, the live show that we put on is incredible. I really believe in it. And it took like, I haven't been doing this since high school. Like it took that long to figure out how to put on a show and how to interact with people. And like, I've opened up for every band ever known to man, and I've studied and I've watched, and I see the words that people connect with and the songs and how they get into songs and how they end a song and how they walk off the stage before they come back out for an encore, or just like every little detail. I'm just like, put it into this rock and roll show, and it's like, it's something to see. I'm really proud of it.
So when do you feel like you finally did get a handle on it? Like, was there, I know not necessarily like a singular moment where you're like, oh yeah, Pensacola, yeah. July 13th, you know, but.
Well, it kind of was. And there was probably like two moments last year that really, we opened up for a band called Bastille, and we've only at that time had played a couple shows, like a handful of shows in LA, and it started reacting, and we're like, wow, this is great. And like, Bastille was so sweet. They're like, you guys are coming out and tour with us for like a couple weeks. And our first show with them was in Toronto in front of 10,000 people. And I remember just being backstage and being like, so nervous. Because I've never been in front of that many people before, and just being like, oh my gosh, like this is insane. Like, my goal was to just not fall over. Like, to just go out, just, like, play these songs that we've only played a couple of times and just do okay, do well, you know, so I can walk off the stage and, like, hold my head up. And then I was like, you know what, I mean, screw that. Like, I was sitting there, like, I'm just hoping and praying for, you know, mediocrity. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to go out. Like, here's an opportunity. Like, you can either go out there and do that, or you can go out and just attack it and just punch it in the face and just like, and try to steal the show. You know what I mean? And we went out there and we played a heck of a show, man. And it just, the next night it got better. And then the next night it got better. And over the course of 10 months, we played 150 shows. And by the end of that run, we were just like, oh man, you can put us on or before anybody, and we are going to like, we're going to crush. And that's how I feel now. Like, I love that feeling of the confidence of just being like, this is a band to be reckoned with. This is a live show you need to see. People will talk about it. Like, it's awesome.
Did you ever think you'd, you know, not like, did you ever think you'd have the success that you've had, but did you ever think you'd get to that point as a performer live where you would be able to like confidently say that, you know, because I know a lot of people hope it.
Yeah.
You know, but that's different than saying, yeah.
I think, no, I never really thought about it that way. I honestly just think I always just like wanted to do okay. And like, I wanted to put on the best show I could, but like, you know, when you're suddenly standing there and like Kimmel's counting down and you've only played this song four times and you got to play, it's like, it's go time, man. It's like, attack it. And that's been my motto, just like attack life and just go. And I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. Like, I'm humbled. Like, I'm completely aware I should probably be digging holes somewhere, and I'm not. But I'm just super grateful for every opportunity. I really am.
So when, you know, what that sounds like to me though is you basically were like at that Bastille show, like, you know, I'm just gonna do what I've done.
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait, I've never actually had a chance to do more than that.
Yeah.
Maybe I should do more than that.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it was like,
all you ever really needed was I know a lot of people you could say this for, but it's like all you ever needed was an opportunity. And I don't mean like a break. I mean like to be presented with that choice of,
yeah,
oh, I can just do what I've done, or I need to do more.
Yeah. That was a really important moment for me and the band. And I think the other moment is somehow we booked like every festival known to man last year. And that was like I've only played maybe one or two before in my life. And we booked, I think, like 25. And one of the first ones we played was Bonnaroo. And it was like the Thursday night before. Somehow we had like one of the best slots of Bonnaroo. It was like the 9 o'clock slot at the tent where everybody wanted to be at. And it was like, I mean, 5,000 people just filled this thing. And I remember like, I was so in the moment, but I was so just like thinking about things. Like they're filming it. It's a whole production, you know? And I remember like during, we were doing a Verve cover, we were doing Bittersweet Symphony. And I knelt down to like mess with my pedal. And my bass player, Chris, who's just amazing, he knew I was thinking too much. And he ran over and he screams in my ear. He goes, "Get out of your f-ing head." And I was like, yeah, I got goosebumps just thinking about it. It was so cool. And then that was it. I was just like, yeah, you're right. Focus. Like, kill this. Like, another opportunity that you are just not living up to, because he could tell I was thinking, you know. And it was just a great moment. I'll always remember that. Like, having those moments, and there's been so many that I haven't attacked, but to have those moments and those few where you're like, man, I did everything I could right then. You know what I mean? Like, that felt good. And again, that was another moment for the band. Like, that was our like coming out party, because like that was a big one for us. And it started to catch, you know, fire. And then I could see all the festival dates, like our times, which were earlier, would get it like an hour or two later. And I'm like, man, that was the power of that Bonnaroo shoot.
You'll hear more of my conversation with Josh from Mondo Cosmo in just a few. But first, live from our studios, here he is with the band. It's Chemical Dream on the guest list. We are all systems go. We are all systems go. Bless you, American lovers, holding hands in atomic summers. Yeah. Out here in the middle of the forest, no one hears you, no one calls us. Spotlight on the eyes of glory. Someday, girl, you will meet the man of your dreams, a tall mother with diamonds and dreams, yeah. I can hear him coming for you, girl, yeah, yeah, yeah. She goes, all my life is a chemical dream, oh.
Yeah, I try my best. is a chemical dream. Oh, my life is a chemical dream. Oh, my life is a chemical dream.
Recorded live in our studios, it's Mondo Cosmo with Chemical Dream. I'm Sean Cannon, it's the guest list. Let's go ahead and jump back into my conversation with Josh from Mondo Cosmo as he talks about the pressure you feel trying to follow up an initial burst of success.
The sophomore thing is a bit, it's a real thing, man. It's like, you gotta like, yeah, it's a huge amount of pressure. And like, explaining that to like talking with like the people that I work with and being like, I'm just like, look, it is all hands on deck right now. It is like, honestly, I really think like I got to deliver the record probably end of December. I have 7 songs that I think are very, very good. And I really think the next 3 months are going to like make the next couple years for like touring, which, you know, like I employ like these dudes, you know, like I love them. Like, I don't want Drew working at a freaking restaurant anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I care. Like, I really want to crush this for them. I want to crush it for everybody. I want to crush it for myself. I want to do it for those people that like the words mean something. Like, you know, for the people that played Shine at their kid's funeral, or like the people that played Plastic Soul at their wedding, you know, like meeting those people and seeing the words that affected them. And I feel like I'm at the right time lyrically to be writing the lyrics that I'm writing. I feel like I lived enough, and I feel like I'm in touch with what people want to hear. And I really feel like I'm writing my Joshua Tree, and I'm really excited about it.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm ready to go, man.
That's, you're giving me goosebumps now. Gave yourself goosebumps. Now I got them. Yeah, man, I mean, you know, just, I guess it's like to hear the way you're talking about it. Obviously, I know that there has to be immense pressure, if for no other reason than you're like, oh man, the label is expecting blank.
Yeah.
And then you actually add all that other stuff you're talking about.
I mean, the label, they've been supportive of me. They've been great. But I mean, the pressure of this is all just self-made. This is just like, I know how quickly this can turn. I know I can be like, you know, digging holes in 8 months. But it's like, I really know this is my time to really focus and really, you know, I need to deliver for nobody else other than myself.
And that's the way to,
yeah.
That's the kind of pressure you want though.
Yeah, right? That's great. What I mean? I love that. I'll take that every day. Yeah. And it's like, because I know when I'm not delivering it and when I'm not doing my best, and I feel really good about what I'm doing right now.
So you said that one of the things is like, you feel like you finally lived enough. Like what, in what way?
I think when you're a kid writing songs and you're just trying, you know, I was just trying to rhyme. You know what I mean? I'm just trying to like, you know, when I started Mondo, I left a band called Eastern Conference Champions, and we shortened it to ECC. So ECC had a bunch of tunes I was like, I really believed in. They were really great. But it wasn't until I quit and I had to like go through that phase of like working 2 jobs and starting over everything, like on Instagram, and like suddenly you have 4 followers and you're like, oh man, here we go. You know what I mean? It's like, that is a mountain to climb. That is like, wow, that's like all these little things of being like, you have to be obsessed. But when I started, that's when I started writing lyrics, and I really quickly wrote, you know, Plastic Soul, the song, and I wrote Shine, and I wrote Higher, and I wrote Hold On To Me. And the lyrics of all those songs came from such a place of just like, I might as well have just been screaming, help me. Like, I was just like so frustrated, because not thinking that I would ever be able to do music professionally, or I was like, I was lost. I was really, really lost. And I was like, I felt like I let a lot of people down with ECC, and, you know, just, it sucked. It was a bummer, man. But like these lyrics that I wrote, just meeting people now and talking to them and seeing, like when we play Higher and that line in the song when it goes, I ain't gonna work this job no more. And you, when we play that, and you see the dude in the back of the room, like, put his hand up in the air, like, and sing along to that. It's like, that's power, man. That's, like, the power of music. And it's, like, I feel like I've worked enough crappy jobs. I've had my heart broken. Not saying, like, a 16-year-old kid can't write a better song than me or whatever, but just feel like for myself, the position that I'm at, with the things that I've learned, especially within the past year, of like the words that resonate with people and the things that people want to hear and the words of hope that people need nowadays. It's like, I feel like I have a chance to do something that could be, you know, endearing to them or could speak to something. And in no way, like trying, I get the Dylan thing a lot. Would never compare myself to somebody like that with his lyrics.
Good. If anybody would, I would be a little.
But like, I hated that. I hate when people are like, yeah, you know, I think it's a lot has to do with the way I curl my notes and stuff like that when I sing. But I don't know. I just feel like for me personally, like, this is my time to write the songs that I think it's my time.
In just a few, you'll hear Josh from Mondo Cosmo talk about testifying in front of the Senate. But first, we have another song that he's working hard to follow up. Live from our studios, it's Mondo Cosmo with Automatic.
I'm automatic, yeah. I'm automatic, yeah. I'm automatic, yeah. I'm automatic, yeah. I'm automatic. I'm automatic. Yeah.
Recorded live in our studios, it's Mondo Cosmo with Automatic on the guest list. Now let's jump back into my conversation with frontman Josh Ostrander as we talk about something kind of big that he got to do just a few months back.
You know, I was asked to go speak to Congress this year on behalf of the Grammys for the Music Modernization Act and stuff. And it was like, I'm like in the Senate. I'm in the Kennedy room having lunch. You know what I mean? And I was just like, this is insane. And I'm here for a reason. I should be taking this all in. So I've been taking it in and just hopefully, you know, the words will live up to the memory of it.
That's nuts.
That was nuts.
That's like, that is ridiculous.
Dude, like,
I did not know that you had done that for the MMA thing.
Yeah, that was like, it was they asked me to go. The people at the Grammy have been so nice. They're not giving me a Grammy, but for some reason they like me. They're always asking me to do stuff. I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? You know, I'm not going to say no to the Grammys. And then they called like management and they were like, hey, we want Josh to go to Washington, D.C. and talk to members of Congress and senators about this bill we're trying to get passed, this new legislation that would like get, you know, songwriters more money, you know, because when it's played on the radio and stuff. And I was like, nah, I don't think that's good. First off, I'm dumb as a bag of rocks. I don't think I graduated high school. And I was worried I was going to come off like Lars from Metallica when Napster came out.
Yeah.
You know, and I was just like, dude, stop talking. You look like a jerk. Like, you have so much money. Stop talking about it. And I was really like, I don't know if that's a cool look for myself, you know. And they called back. They're like, oh, yeah, you're going. And I was like, oh, all right. So my manager is Scottish. Can't understand a word he says. Him and I head to D.C. And suddenly we're there and talking to Congress about. And the whole time I'm like, what am I doing? This is so dumb. I'm embarrassed. Like, why am I here? I'm wearing the same suit I got married in. Like, I have no, you know what I mean? I'm just like, trying to have some kind of like, not look like a homeless person and just use my words correctly. And as I started explaining to these people my story and being like, well, I've been doing this for a really long time and I've been signed multiple times. I've signed multiple record deals and, you know, I've had a publishing deal and I've been touring for years, and suddenly I found myself working two jobs and just not being in this beautiful thing that I've worked so hard for my whole life, like realizing that it was turning into a hobby. It devastated me. And it just, and like as I'm telling them the story, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm the perfect person to be here to explain this to. It's like somebody that just devotes so much time to their craft and just gets paid terribly when it comes to royalty rates and stuff like that. And it was awesome, man. And then for no reason on my behalf, but it went and got passed. It was like, I'm like, I just made Taylor Swift like $80 million.
And you made yourself like what, 800?
I mean, yeah, like 50 bucks. But I'm psyched. It's a couple of beers.
After the break, Josh from Mondo Cosmo discusses what he called a rock and roll freakout that resulted in a pretty bad hand injury, and how, strange as it seems, it kind of ended up being a positive thing. It's the guest list.
From celebrities on the red carpet.
When I speak about the android, I use it as a parallel.
To everyday people who are making a difference in our own community.
I just noticed there were hardly any women. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense.
She said, Mommy, every time I see a homeless person, I just want to raise money and buy them a house.
Strange Fruit brings you their voices and their stories. Race, gender, and LGBT issues from politics to pop culture. A new episode every Saturday on strangefruitpod.org.
Rock on.
Yes, hello, rock on.
I'm Sean Cannon, it's the guest list, and here's the last bit of my conversation for today with Joshua Ostrander of Mondo Cosmo as we talk about his foggy memory. No, sort of. So a second ago, did you say like, I don't think I graduated high school?
I'm not, I don't remember graduating high school. I think they might've gave me like, cause I was touring in high school. I was like, I was already going up and playing like New York City and like coming back. Cause I was in a band with older guys that were out of high school. And we would go up and play the city and come back and, you know, get back at like 6 a.m. Cause bars are up there late. You gotta play late. And then you get back and suddenly I'm like going to school. And my folks were getting split up at the time. So they were kind of just like dealing with their own thing. And as long as I wasn't doing drugs or like I was a good kid, you know, like I was like really driven musically. So I was just like really quiet, just doing my thing, would go to school. But I was like, I wasn't there. I was so stressed in high school. I hated it. But yeah, I'm not sure I graduated high school.
Yeah, that's, I most people at least know. Well, I couldn't tell if you said I didn't or I don't remember.
I'm not sure.
And I mean, you know, it takes, I understand what you're saying. It's a bit of a blur because you're like, I was not really there. I kind of didn't care. But normally you at least like.
I don't remember the cape. I don't remember like putting on that outfit. I don't think I did any of that.
So you definitely didn't like go to like graduation then?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So,
or prom or anything like that.
But you may have gotten a piece of paper in the mail at some point.
I think they maybe. Were just like, just give him one. He seems nice.
You went to one of those schools. Yeah, I had some friends who were.
It was a pretty easy school.
But in a similar situation to that.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing you don't have to fill out normal job applications these days then.
I talked to Congress. I would love to fill out a job application. Give it to me. I got this MMA thing passed. It's amazing.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can put that on there, but then when it also like says...
When they're like, can you read this? Like, no,
yeah,
can't read.
Like, you know, completely dyslexic. I mean, I did like go to school through the sixth grade, I think. So I forgot that I was going to ask you about this. What happened to your hand?
Oh, my hand.
Yeah.
It's the $1 million question.
Yeah, yeah. Rock and roll freak out. Is that a good kind of rock and roll freak out that you had?
It was not a good rock and roll freak out. I've never done this before. Never had like a terrible moment like this. And it was just so bad. And it was just the band had been running on a schedule that was insane. And I was going to do a video shoot. So we had to like cross, we were in New York, we had to fly back to LA. The band had been pretty much going for 72 hours straight. And then we had like a 15-hour travel day to get back into LA at like 2 a.m. to get home. And then I had to be in like West LA at 10 a.m. with all the gear. And it was just fried. And whole band was fried. And we had to do this video shoot that I didn't really think was a good idea to do. And I didn't want to do it, but I said yes to it. And it just, during the video shoot, the heat got turned up. So it looked like a sweaty thing. And I thought it was a live performance. And it was, but, you know, we would do a take and the band's giving it, you know. And then, like, in our ears, we hear, like, okay, so we got to do that again. And I was just like, oh, man, like, I'm not playing that song again. Like, I thought we were doing a show, you know. And then it just kept getting hotter. And they started doing this fog thing where they just fill up the room with fog so it looks cool with the visuals. And I could just see people having trouble breathing. I was trying to sing. I was having trouble breathing. It was just like the performance got away from us. We finished the last song. We walk off. We walk into the room. And everybody's like, that was great. That was great. And I'm just covered. I am just soaked to the bone in sweat. And I just lost it. I lost it. I freaking just like, I screamed a bunch of stuff at some people I shouldn't have said. And then I was like, everybody that's not in the band, get out. And you see like everybody just leave. And I turned and I thought I was punching like one of those padded studio foam walls. And I never done this before and I'll never do it again. But it was a studio glass door like that. And I just put my hand through it and I pulled it back and I clipped so many nerves and so many tendons. And my dermatologist came up and he like took my handkerchief and he wrapped it around my hand. And he's like, we gotta go to the hospital. So I went to the hospital and I was in surgery till like 4 a.m. And they were just like putting stuff back together. And the whole time they're just like, you are so, you know, they're just like, I'm sure they tell it to every idiot that puts his hand through a glass door, but they're just like, you are so stinking lucky. And I was like, oh my God, like, and it was such a moment of like clarity. And I was like, but at the same time, I was like, oh, I'm getting dropped. You know, it was like the next day looking down at my hand at like full cast and being like, I'm like, oh my God, like I pride myself so much on like being that dude that people can count on and like, and being a leader for my band and for everybody I work with, you know, from top to bottom. And like, it was just terrible. And I had to start making apologies and I reached out to everybody that was there that day and I apologized. I was like, there's no excuse for that. It was just completely out of hand. I literally hit a wall. I mean, and it was really tough. I was like really depressed for like a week. I was just like, man, this is not good. I got to make some changes here. And they put me on this antibiotic to like, cause I had to get like a tetanus shot and they had to put together the veins and stuff. So I was like really on like this heavy duty antibiotic. And I started writing the most amazing songs I've ever written. And I'm like, I went back to the doc. I'm like, doc, I don't know what to tell you, man. Because I wouldn't take any painkillers because I just hated myself so much. I wanted to not do that. And I was like, doc, I am like, I got to tell you, I am just writing the best songs I've written in years. And I'm like Jimi Hendrix on acid right now with these antibiotics. He's like, I'm not giving you any more. I'm like, all right. He's like, let me ask you. He's like, do you really think it's these pills or do you think it was you like finally dealing with something in such like a just cathartic way of punching a door in front of everyone you work with? Like maybe you had to punch a door. I was like, yeah, maybe you're right. So that's it, man. That's where I'm at. But it's been like, I've had to like reach out to friends to like help me like get this record in its place because I couldn't really play guitar too well. Like it really, I could only downstroke really, which was kind of cool because it kind of simplified my songs even more. And I was like, I'm always trying to find the simplest way to deliver a song. I really think it's cool. But I had to like reach out to people like for help on guitar. And like one of the dudes that reached out to me to help was Peter from Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. And I was just like, dude, are you like, that's amazing. Like the record that is coming together based on just everything, it all culminated into this moment of me punching this door. And now just the release of writing these songs from that moment. I don't know, man. It's something. Something's happening. I'm just like along for the ride. So that's the story of the hand. Nobody knows that, by the way. My mom doesn't know that.
Oh, man.
I'll send her a link to this.
Does she know anything about it?
I told my brother, because my brother and I are close. I was just like, yeah, this is what happened. And then my mom's like, what happened? And I was like, oh, we were moving some gear and I it got cut. Or she just knew it was full, you know.
She knew that that wasn't true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think pretty much everybody in my life knows at this point.
But that was like a thing though. Like something happened.
Something happened. Something, I think for me personally, something needed to happen. And, I wouldn't, it's weird. Like if you would ask me right now, like would you do that again? I almost feel like I would be like, yeah, man, I would, because like, it was so stupid, but it was something I feel like I really needed to personally go through to see through these songs and to see through, like, to like the whatever happened to me and was turned out to be such a good thing. I mean, I don't want to say that it was a good thing, but like I had to have conversations with everybody I work with after that. And it was kind of beautiful because they were like, Josh, like, if you don't want to do something, we're not going to do it. And it's like, from down the line, from the label to management to the band, everybody was just like, dude, we love you. Like, let's, like, it was my lowest point, but I feel like I had to get there to start to get to where I need to be. So I'm still working. I'm a work in progress.
I mean, I understand that feeling in general, especially like that, like what you're talking about, where I, you know, I'd say there, obviously that happening was like multifaceted, but a big part of it is probably you pushing yourself too much, doing too much for too many people.
Yeah.
Not taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
I've never done that specifically, but I can relate because you want to say yes to everything. You want to make sure you don't waste any opportunities.
Did you ever have like a great freak out?
Oh man, I used to have them all the time.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like not like anger freak outs, but like panic attacks and stuff on a regular basis. So it's like, I totally understand that, like that sort of moment where everything's just bottled up.
Lose it.
Yeah. And you just, it just like.
Yeah.
And I mean, I have a short temper anyway. So I think part of the weird silver lining of that is like anger doesn't ever build up too much.
Yeah.
Cause I'm just like, bah!
Yeah. See, I just push stuff down.
Bah! Like, you know, other things I might not do that with. I might push away, but like if I'm frustrated by something, I'm usually just like right then and there.
I have such respect for people that like handle their business right away. Like if something's wrong, like even when it's uncomfortable, I have such respect for people. I can just be like, you know what you said to me, I don't agree with, or I don't like what you did. Like I'm like amazed by that because I'm just like, okay, yeah, fine, that's fine.
You getting better at that?
I'm trying.
That sounds like a no, but I. That sounds like a no, but I want to say yes.
I'm trying.
I get it.
Well, this was good. This was like talking to a therapist. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, in that case, just come on back.
I'll see you in 2 weeks.
That's all of my conversation for today with Josh Ostrander of Mondo Cosmo, but I'll let you know when he comes by for that follow-up visit in a couple of weeks. And before we get out of here today, let's close things out with Josh's biggest hit, so far anyway. Live from our studios, it's Mondo Cosmo with Shine on the guest list.
Steer clear me, Jesus, through the coming storm. I've come to you in search of something I've lost. Shine down the light on me and show a path. Let them get high, let them get stoned. Everything will be alright if you let it go. Let them get high, let them get stoned. Everything will be alright if you let it go. Friends are so alone and it breaks my heart. My friends don't understand, we all are lost. I shine down a light on them and show.
shine down a light on me and let me know. And take me in your arms and never let me go. Let them get high, let them get stoned. Everything will be alright if you let it go. Let them get high.
That's Mondo Cosmo live from our studios with Shine. You can expect a new album from the band next year at some point, but hey, let's not get ahead of ourselves since Mondo Cosmo just put out an EP called Your Mother Trucker. And again, that's what I'm calling it on the radio so I don't get fined by the FCC. Well, that's all we got for you this week here on the guest list from Louisville Public Media. Stacey Owen is our executive director. Kojin Tashiro is our technical director. We get special assistance from Margaret Darling, and our theme song is by Broncho. You can find everything we have to offer on our website, guestlist.wfpk.org. I'm your host and producer, Sean Cannon. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Sean Cannon. And of course, you can find these Mother of Pearl coveralls, lovely and effervescent as they are, at Red Cap. I'll see you next week. Steer into it.